Good morning. I have to tell you that I used to, before I was a Christian, and even since I've been a Christian, I've been watching some people, the evangelist guys on TV or on YouTube, and I've heard of Billy Graham. And I've watched him, not in person, but, you know, with all the media we have. And I thought, gee, this is not my calling. This is definitely not me. Whatever you want to use me for, Lord, it can't be that. It just can't be that. I couldn't see that I was cut out for it. And the way I became a Christian, you know, it was in very sort of dramatic circumstances. It took me quite, I'm a slow learner, so it took a while before I saw the light. But I thought, you know, well, as a Christian, the one thing I can do is live a good life and by my actions speak to people about Jesus. And I was quite comfortable with that. You know, like, I like people, so it didn't really stir me up to try and help people and to be there to encourage them and whatever. You know, like, that seemed to be part of me, of my personality. But then came evangelism shift at my church. And, yeah, okay, I'll be part of that, see what they have to say, you know. And at first, you know, it was all, like, new to me, but as the times we met, you know, came by, I started to really be interested in what was happening. And, for instance, yesterday, they showed us a video that really spoke to me, because remember I was telling you that to me actions were important, but I was not the one to speak too much about the Lord, like, you know, like openly. I would in sort of quiet second, you know, like, I wasn't ashamed, but I thought, no, this is you know how they tell you, well, it's okay for you. If it's good for you, good, but that's not for me. And I thought, oh, well, you know, that's what they want, so that's what they get. Nothing. So that video yesterday was quite powerful, actually. It really, like, spoke to me. There was this guy. He just came out, you know, from shopping, and he was in a big car park, and on the other side where he was parked, there was another guy, and suddenly, you know, his bag of fruits or whatever was in it broke, and the oranges and everything was what have I done?
Nothing. Just save you bumping it.
Okay.
Doing great.
Everything was all going all over the place, and the poor guy was holding his bag and was trying to get the fruits, and the more he tried, the more that he spilled, and, you know, it was a really complete mess. And this guy, the Christian guy, looked at this, and then he decided, I'm going to help this guy. So he went to help him, and, you know, it's, you know, like, I think I would have done too. I would have gone to help him. But something came out of this meeting. You know, like, the other guy was so impressed that this guy was helping him. He said, I really appreciate what you've done. Can I meet you another, like, you know, the Christian guy said, well, we didn't hear that. We just saw what was happening. But they exchanged phone numbers, and next minute, you know, they become friends, And the Christian guys eventually invite him to come to his church, and or to meet with another friend in a cafe, and obviously they were talking about the Lord. And all this, you know, was starting to make sense, and then you see on the video that, oh, this guy was questioning and suddenly, you know, realized, well, what, is that really for me? And he didn't come back and meet with these two guys. But you could see that the you know, the Christian guy was really, like, you know, hoping that his new friend would come back and be you know, remain friends with them. But eventually he did come back. Something must have happened in his life, and, you know, he was really searching, and he came back to his Christian friend. And then, of course, you know, like, more things happened, and then he met this beautiful girl in the church, and next minute we see, like, there was a wedding, a marriage, you know, like, he married that beautiful Christian girl, and everything was so nice. You know, I thought, oh, gee, isn't that good that, you know, that these two guys met, and this is how God used the situation. But then, whoever made the film came back to the beginning of the film, and this Christian guy is seeing this guy in trouble with all his fruits going everywhere. And for some reason, he decided, no, I'm not going to help that guy. So it really impacted me in a way that, you know, if you feel prompted to do something, and you always realize later that it was God prompting you, if you respond to it, God knows what is going to happen after this. But if you don't, what a shame that things might not have happened. And it really spoke to me. And then I was starting to, like, you know, I was asked that I was supposed to speak today, and there's my friend Graham putting me on the spot again. And I thought, well, that video I think I'm going to talk about. And then something came to me, and, you know, I was thinking, like, I really like Margaret's cakes. And I tell everybody about Margaret's cakes. So if I'm not losing weight, you know who to blame. And then I was thinking, well, every time I see a movie that really touched me, I make sure that I tell everybody to go and watch that movie. Maybe it's not their cup of tea, but I'm so enthusiastic about it. Please go and see it. And something I do is that I make sure that everybody knows I'm a Christian. I tell them I go to church and everything. And I often, there's times when I say about my church, you know, and how the people here are really, really beautiful people. And what it means to me, because after my breakup, whatever family I had, you know, her family, all this was taken away from me. And then my kids grew up, and now I've got a daughter in Queensland and a son in Germany, who has now two children, and I can't even go and see these kids because of COVID. But I'm so thankful because God gave me Bedford Church, and I have felt so much love from you people. And, like, you know, and then I start realizing, you know, everything that, how God blesses me through this church. I've got the men's meeting with Barry and Ab and all these other guys on Tuesdays. And that means so much to me. That's such a blessing, you know? And as a guy, I really need this kind of meeting, get together and talk with other guys. So I'm thankful for that. And then we have the Wednesday afternoon with Jean. Refresh your soul. Well, what a ministry that is, you know? And that's where I started being able and wanting to start praying for people. You know, I've learned to pray for me and all my needs. Please, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord. But also I've been starting to thank the Lord for so many things that he does for me. And the Wednesday afternoon is like an oasis. And every Wednesday afternoon, you can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in our group. It is so beautiful. And there's so much love out of this. And I was thinking about all of you people and the way you've accepted me and the way you love me and the way I love you people and the family that God has given me. And that's one thing that I started talking to my daughter in Darlington. And I first started talking about my church. And then she always asked me, like, you know, anything happened at your church this week? So, you know, like, but since the evangelism shift, I, for some reason, started to talk to her about Jesus and what he's doing in my life. And she knows that God is changing my life because I'm her father, and she has seen the transformation in me. So I have a daughter now who listens to Joyce Myers. She absolutely adores her.
That's good.
Yeah. And we talk, every time we meet, we talk about Jesus. And she has so many questions. Sometimes I don't have the answer, but I'll say I'll get back to you on this one. But imagine what that does to me, that, you know, one of my daughters is interested in the one I love so much. It's really, you know, so when you look at everything that I've said to you so far, I think that you all have the prerequisites to be part of evangelism shift, because you already have the love, and you have demonstrated to me the love of God in action, and you're halfway there. And evangelism shift showed me that I'm not the guy that's going to save the people. That's God's business. But he can use me like he can use all of you, like in that video, to choose and go and help that person. And who knows what's going to happen after that? You won't necessarily talk about the Lord the first time. Sometimes it will be the first time because it's one of these one-off meetings. And for some reason, God puts the words into your mouth to say something that this person needs to hear. It's amazing when you stop and look back at how the Lord works. It's just incredible. So I really encourage you to think about it and to join us next year when we do it together, and you will really, really enjoy this, because it's a very good feeling when you realize that God is using you to help somebody else. I don't think you can buy that kind of present. You know, it's really powerful. So, see you next year.
Good at this. I want to start by saying that I'm not pretending to be accomplished at sharing the good news with people. I often lack confidence and many times mumble and fumble my way through. So just in case you're thinking, oh, well, she can do this and I can't, it's simply not true. I made a decision a few years ago when I was dealing with some personal stuff to really press into God and practice the presence of God, which means to be still before him, to pray without ceasing, and to listen out for his heart, believing the German phrase of God is our Herzensfreund, which means he is the friend of our heart. I made decisions to discover that And from that, I began to see a change in myself. And I noticed I had more of a hunger for reading scripture and understanding scripture, for reading the stories from the saints of old and modern day scholars who can enlighten me about God's word. And from that, I discovered that I'm meant to share this, not hold it in. It's a gift to be given. And so that set me on a course for doing that, recognizing that I don't belong to myself. I am God's agent. So evangelism shift came along at just the right time. And it impresses upon us that same sense of sentness, that evangelism is a process of coming alongside a person and journeying with them towards their faith. And this is also something that Zinzendorf, Count Zinzendorf from the 1700s reinforced, that it's the heart should always be full enough for the mouth to speak out of its abundance. So if our heart is full, we'll want to speak, and that has been my experience, and I hope that helps you. Evangelism shift enables us to have strategies, and we are in the company of other people who mumble and fumble their way through evangelism, so it's a great encouragement, and it's been a great tool for me recently. So with that, I took up the phrase from Michelangelo, who said that it's better to aim high and miss than aim low and hit the target. And so with those targets in mind, which are people that God laid upon my heart, I came and have come alongside them and just began understanding them, knowing them, listening to them, asking the right questions, and questions like, who is Jesus to you and who are you? What are your values? Do those values work, and where did they come from? And who do you say you are? And it's astonishing how much people want to talk about themselves, which is really great. And so from there, I've been able to press in and go further than I normally would, with one particular friend in mind who for a long time kept any talk about Jesus at arm's length, has this year disclosed to me through her own personal circumstances that she has decided to believe in God and identifies that she's not quite there yet, but wanted to buy a Bible, which she has, and wants to read more about him. I have enabled her to have the Gospel of John so that she can have a better approach at reading scripture, particularly as it's about Jesus, and have offered to help her along with that. But accompanying that is her son, who attends a Christian school, he's only 9, who, as he memorizes scripture, it ministers to her. She's loving it. And I always remember Graham Mitchie's sermon where he talked about speak scripture to people, because it is the sword of God and it is powerful. It is a living, breathing word. And I've seen evidence of this in my friend's life. I would encourage you to do that. There are two truths that I have learned in this process. One is that the Holy Spirit is the only true missionary. Human beings are simply agents of the Holy Spirit. It is Jesus who saves, not you. That has been such a great comfort to me. I can relax in that. I just need to be available. It is He who does all the work. Thank you, God. And also, the church, the community of believers, is like a village that leads someone to Christ. I'm not alone. We're not alone. The Bride of Christ is a collective group. It's not an individual thing. We are part of the body, and the body is there to lean on and to spur us on and encourage us in sharing the gospel. And if I don't know answers, I can go to somebody who does. And if I'm not the right fit for a person, I can go to somebody in the body who is. So together, we work together. We are a village together. And I've seen this with my friend. She has had and still has a Christian hairdresser in her life. And she will often say to me that, you say the same things as my hairdresser. And I've never met her hairdresser. But we are part of the body of Christ. So God works us together for the benefit of the other person and also for our own selves. So be encouraged. You're not in this alone. And finally, I just want to add a wonderful phrase from Kung Fu Panda 3, which says, "Who are you? What are you good at? What makes you you? Start with that." So I would say to you, start with you. Warts and all, weaknesses and all, start with you. Let Holy Spirit work through you as he is doing through me. It's a wonderful journey. It's so enlightening and so enriching to be part of that sentness. Bless you and have a good day.
Second slide on, please. So, folks, just to remind you, evangelism shifts a vision. Is our vision is a movement of churches across Australia and beyond whose people have a culture of living as witnesses in their everyday life, calling others to respond to Jesus Christ. And as a church, we've committed ourselves to this for 2 years, and the first year is coming to an end. Evangelism Shift like to focus on three words that I've highlighted there. It's a movement. A movement in the sense of it's got structure. So I came to this church when I was 12 from a non-Christian family, a non-Christian background. And this church has had a huge impact on my life. But I don't think in that 50 years we've ever been so structured in providing an opportunity for us to learn how to share our faith. I can't tell you all the things that I've been learning because I have to get off. But it is a structured movement, and it is really laid out very well. The other thing that they are emphasizing is a culture. So the vision they've given us is that the culture of this church would become, anybody who comes into this church would very quickly get the sense of, we are people who are involved in the world. We have a whole range of not yet Christian friends, and we spend time with them, we pray for them, we care for them, and as the Spirit opens up opportunities, we share with them. That becomes the culture of this church. And of course, as new people come in, as people become Christians, that becomes the culture that they're born into. And we start to see the kingdom of God really growing. And the emphasis on calling, Jean-Pierre focused on this beautifully, is that clearly there is a call as a Christian to live a godly life. And that's not all we are called to do in the kingdom of God. Even to have spiritual conversations, which is a great thing, is still not what we're fully called to. It's to actually be an instrument to introduce people to Jesus as the Spirit of God leads us. Not a pressure that we've got to do that. So one of the things that we've all been learning is that it's a beautiful combination of the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and the Great Commandment to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. It brings those two things together beautifully. I said it's a 2-year program, and we're into year one's nearly finished. And the aim is to train and equip us, all of us from all different walks of life, whether we're just embarking on a career or whether we've retired, to live this lifestyle of witness, to just be available to God, to be used and led. And if we could go to the next slide, please. Year one is coming to a close, and the purpose of today is to just let you know year two is when the whole congregation is invited into the initiative. And the form of that is through small groups that are not seminars like the group that's done the first year is doing. And so just want to let you know that if you're in a home group, we are going to be inviting your home group to focus for most of the year on evangelism shifts. So there's 18 weeks, which if you meet fortnightly like my group does, that's 36 weeks, and it's probably a good idea to have a few breaks in between. So it's probably most of what you'll focus on next year. Now, I know your home group is probably already in the middle of something, and we're putting out this invitation, and you're hearing from people who've been blessed by this already. As we're going to be, we are this year and early next year being encouraging people to join some small groups. We're particularly mindful of our young families in our church with children. We are looking at inviting them to join us in a couple of Zooms so they don't have to leave their home but can actually be part of this. But fully aware, it is always an invitation. We are not and will not make commands. All we can do is ask you to make yourself available. And there's a lovely offer if you can't do a small group. There is what's called huddles. And for the people who've done the first year, maybe just two or three people might meet with one of the people who's done year one and guide you through. So that's all I want to do this morning is to remind you this is a big focus of next year. You won't be hearing anything more about it until February. The year one people have got to finish theirs first, and then by March we'll be looking to invite the rest of the congregation to join us. If you've got questions, I'm not going to ask for them now because the time's rushing by. Would you please speak to me or any of the elders or any of the people you've heard speak about their experiences so far? Could we go to the last one, please? Could we just take 3 or 4 minutes now? Could you please spend a moment praying for those? So rather than me pray, let's invite everybody to be praying your personal prayers to God. Would you pray for those who are in the first year that we might be practicing and modeling the things that we're learning? Would you please consider and pray about your involvement for year two in evangelism shift through a small group or a huddle? And could you pray that Bedford Community Church people might actually develop a culture of being living witnesses in everyday life, and that we start to see more and more people coming to know Jesus? So just a quiet 3 or 4 minutes for personal prayer, and then we'll go into a worship time.